You shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Always ask, Mother, what am I to do? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, as it is Mother's Day, and also that we see that reference to to the mothers in the proper last gospel, I wanted to take a moment and speak of a recent and important feast day of Our Lady that has passed by. That is the feast of Mother of Good Counsel. Now, the image of Mother of Good Counsel is put up inside the church at St. Gertrude's, and it's something that Bishop Dolan had always had great devotion to. And providentially, it was the day upon which he was to die, known to Our Lady and to our Lord, but certainly a surprise to all of us. But what was the importance of that feast that was so dear to him and so important for him to leave words to us about the feast? Well, it takes a little bit to understand where the devotion came from. There's a small town of Genazzano in Italy, just outside of Rome. And in this small little village, there was a chapel built very early on in the church, 3rd century time. This chapel was built and was dedicated to Our Lady under the title of Mother of Good Counsel. People regularly prayed there. People came there to do devotions in this small little early church chapel. But over time, it began to fall into disrepair, until finally in the 15th century, 1436, it was clear that a new church was needed to be built there on that spot. But they had no means to do it. The people of the village were largely poor, and the cost of constructing something new was going to be great. There was one woman, her name Petruzia, who was a widow, and she had gained a bit of an inheritance from her husband after his death. And this was what she was to subsist on. But she was extraordinarily pious. And so she decided that if Our Lady's chapel needs to be built, I'll do everything I can to do so. And so she took the entirety of the inheritance and she donated it for the cause of the rebuilding of the chapel, hoping that her donation would inspire others to begin to donate and that this would be completed in time. Well, the priests in charge of the chapel were extremely pleased by this generous donation, and they began work straight away to build the new church in the place of the old one. But sadly, the donations did not come. And so they built until they ran out of Petruzia's money, and then they had to stop, the walls of the church only being raised up a few feet from the ground. With this, as time went on, people began to mock the woman and tell her that she was foolish and that she was imprudent because she had invested all of her money into a project that didn't stand a chance of completion. And now look at it, it's just a miserable wall that is there a few feet high. But despite the fact that she was 80 years old at this point, she had full confidence the church would be done, because she was praying for it daily. And she told the detractors that, I assure you that before my death, Our Lady will finish the church begun by me. And her detractors would then laugh and mock her and walk away and think she was a crazy old hag. Well, come April 25th, 1467, the people of the town of Genazzano, they came together because it was the feast of St. Mark. And on that day, of course, is the Greater Rogation Day. And so they came all together in the town center for Mass, and then after Mass was the procession with the chanting of the litany of the saints, and they processed through the streets on this with this great festive occasion. And as they made their way back to the church in the afternoon, all of a sudden they heard this magnificent music that they had never heard from in a choir perform so well, music that seemed to just emanate out of the air, out of nothing. It seemed to come from heaven, this music, and all immediately rushed outside the church to see what is coming their way. When they went outside, they looked up into the sky, and they saw, which was where the music was coming from, this glorious white cloud, radiant and beaming out light, descending down from the sky towards their town. And as they watched it, it came closer and closer and closer. And as it neared to where the church was, all of the bells of the church began to ring on their own. And not only ring, but unite themselves in unison with their tolling, so that it was all together with the music. Then, as they descended down to the church itself, the clouds disappeared and left behind there in the church a magnificent painting which was surrounded by those clouds. A painting of Our Lady holding the infant Jesus tenderly in her arms, and the infant reaching his own little arm up behind the neck of Our Lady and pulling her closer and tenderly towards himself. Immediately, as people witnessed this miracle and started to pray, sick people from the very beginning began to be healed right on the spot. In time, people were starting to hear about it and pilgrimage to this spot to be healed by the miraculous image that had come there. And all the while, there started to be these rumbles of two strangers who had arrived in town and were looking for a miraculous image. Two men who dressed nothing like the people of Rome. Two men who spoke a foreign language. Two men who were of a different race, a different blood. They appeared strange and truly were out of place. And people were talking about them. And they came, two brothers, who were from Albania to the small little church in their little village, finally arriving to see the image. They had traveled a long way themselves. In Albania, the last of their kings had died suddenly, and they were fearful because they knew that now with the king gone and the army diminished, that the Turks, those Muslim invaders, were waiting to come and invade Albania and soon would be at their doorstep. And yet these faithful brothers didn't know what to do. They didn't want to leave behind this beautiful image of Our Lady that they loved. They didn't want to stay and be forced into slavery or killed under the sword or oppressed under their rule. And so they prayed before the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary with the infant Jesus. And that night they went home and they were inspired. In the middle of the night, Our Lady spoke to each of them, telling them to rise up from their beds, to go and pack the things that they needed for a journey, to leave, and to never, which they would embark on and never return to Albania ever again. Then, the next morning, having the men doing this, the next morning early on, they went to the chapel to pray to Our Lady's image again, because she said that they would be guided by her more later on. And when they arrived at the chapel, they saw the image detach itself from the wall, float up in the air, and become covered by this radiant cloud. And it began to move across the land, and that's what they followed. They followed after it, and that by nighttime, it turned into a flaming pillar, which guided them to continue walking in the night. And it arrived at a certain point at the Adriatic Sea. And instead of going around the coastline, it's so much to the surprise of the two brothers, continued out over sea. But the brothers, knowing that Our Lady had promised them to just follow after that, what they was inspiring them, that they would be continually guided, they, without hesitation, stepped from the shore and found themselves to be walking across the sea on top of the waters themselves. They journeyed day and night until finally they arrived just outside the walls of Rome. And as they approached, the cloud suddenly disappeared and they didn't know where to go. And so they came into the city and they were asking around about the image of Our Lady, and nobody knew what they were talking about at first, until they started hearing of the miraculous image from the small village outside the city. And they told them that this is where they should go to find their image. And upon arrival, they fell upon their knees, realizing that's exactly what had happened. The image of Mother of Good Counsel had traveled from Albania to this small little church, and they confirmed its origins for the people. And from that grew a great swelling of pilgrimage to Our Lady's image, and great miracles to take place in healing. And the money, it came in from the pilgrims, and soon the church was completed. The importance of Our Lady of Mother Good Counsel is exactly that. It is a guidance for us. She is our counselor. She is our inspirer. She is the one who fills us with confidence that no matter what takes place, all will be taken care of for those who are faithful by the providence of Almighty God, and that nothing is impossible. It is for that reason the words that I read you from the second quote at the beginning were the last public words left by Bishop Tolman. Always ask, Mother, what do I do? What am I to do? Now, these words, strange platform for public words, of course, that we would put on Twitter, but what can you do? That is the modern day way. But these words left to us from him was a beautiful message about that trust that all would be taken care of. And then later on that day, we would find out how much everything would be turned upside down. Yet, with all of the confusion and all of the running around to figure out how do we continue, these words kept ringing in our ears, that it is trust in Our Lady that we were to have. And sure enough, as the dust started to begin to settle a little bit, things became clearer, that the bishop would receive a good and proper funeral and burial from Bishop De Silva, that our seminarians in time would be ordained, that we would have a successor in the episcopacy to him. 2,000 years the church has been around, and men have come and gone, and it has always continued. And it has always been protected and guided by heaven. Is that not what we celebrate with the solemnity of Saint Joseph, patron of the universal church? But there was another message from Bishop Dolan that nobody else knew of that I convey to you today, because those were the last public words that were put out there. But he had one more conversation with myself shortly before he was to actually die, within probably about half an hour. I had come out into the kitchen and he was there. We talked about schedule and various other things, and he was in a good mood and laughing, and we joked and we planned out the day. He had a busy day, as did I. But he talked about his tweet that he had put out regarding Mother of Good Counsel, and that he had insinuated in the tweet, but he meant in his heart fully the importance of this message for everybody. That we live in a time where it is important for all to realize that you are part of the mission of the church. The apostolate of the laity, he called it, cannot be forgotten about. That because, while the priests certainly are very important, and we are still here, and we are here to give the sacraments for you to fortify your souls and to continue on with that type of work, our work cannot be truly successful without the assistance of the work of the faithful as yourselves. That most importantly, it takes place in your homes daily, in your prayers, in your confiding in grace and giving to Our Lady and to our Lord, that all that is necessary to be taken care of by Almighty God. But from there is that we are all called to something beyond simply being faithful Catholics who pray at a regular period of time. No. You're called to know more about your faith these days than in the past, to have a firm grasp upon your catechism, have to learn about apologetics, how to defend the faith, how to present the faith to others when you come in contact with them, how to find and spot when things seem erroneous to defend the Church of God, how to be virtuous in the eyes of the people when so few in the world have virtue in their lives, to realize that it may fall upon you to meet and to introduce the true faith and where they can find the true sacraments to people in the world. To realize all of this is how our church has and will continue to grow in these times when there aren't a plentitude of clergy around. No. Take this time seriously and realize just how much good can come from the simple actions of people like yourselves. Our Lady of Mother of Good Counsel is a devotion which was 100% procured by the acts of the laity. It was Patricia who paid the money to have the starting of the foundation of the church, even to the point of making herself poor. It was her that also then completely abandoned herself to trusting that Our Lady would see the project through to the end, even in her lifetime, praying so sincerely, knowing that her prayer would certainly be answered by Mary. It was the two brothers in the face of Turkish invasion who longed to protect the holy image that had been there their entire lives and for many centuries before them, looked for guidance and prayed to her to see what they were to do. And that with full faith in that inspiration that came to them in the middle of the night, followed the image all the way across the sea by foot of all means and arrived at a new life in a foreign land to confirm the importance of that very devotion. It is from those acts of the laity and the faith that they had that the church ever began to investigate those miracles and approve that miraculous image and give to us the very devotion itself. So at many times in our lives, you will be faced with hardship, confusion, opportunity, instances in which your faith will be tested, your virtue will be struggled against, and people will wonder what it is that you do to be a Catholic, what it is that you believe. But in all these times, you can't just simply point to the church building and say, why don't you just simply talk to somebody in there? No, you have to act a little bit yourselves too. And when you find yourself wondering how, simply turn to Our Lady and ask, Mother, what am I to do? And it is Our Lady who will never leave you without an answer. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.